This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRKBlack.com build.
This is the Fed Post.
Took a little toke of the bowl there.
Whoa, nice.
Important for any recording procedure.
You do that. You get high in podcasts. Like I'm afraid to do that because when I'm high, the shit that comes out of my mouth.
So like, no, yeah, I mean that's. I think that's still accurate of me. I just honestly am like addicted to smoking weed while podcasting at this point. Like I just can't really help it. Like honestly, every single time I ever do the like, oh man, God, I forgot what I was saying. That's like almost 100% because I was smoking weed.
Yeah, that happens to me too. It's frustrating. Yeah, I've been trying not to get so stoned before coming on, and I fucked up today because I got off work and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna smoke a blunt. And then I was like, fuck, I gotta do the podcast right now.
That's gonna be spicy.
It's gonna be all right.
I've like, honestly, it's changed my life recently to just smoke weed out of my pipe. Which like I used to do, but like I'm saving so much money now.
Oh yeah.
And then you have so much more control over your high. Like I just take one little hit maybe every, you know, 15, 20 minutes if I'm really trying to like be slow with it. And it's pretty much fine. You know, like you take the one little hit, you start talking with the boys on the podcast. You like say something kind of retarded and you're like, oh, okay. I'll like wait another 20 minutes. Maybe, you know, wait a little longer for that second hit.
Run out of ideas, hit it. 5 seconds later, you got an idea.
Yeah. Like I had a D&D session like a couple months ago where I took a really, really fat bong rip out of like my friend's, you know, one of those like fucking just monster weird bongs. And I just like, I had a coughing fit and it was one of those things where I was just like, oh, like I need to stop the game now. Like I'm like, I am done. And so we like, it was a good stopping point, but yeah, it like literally ended the whole night. It was pretty fun.
Mic drop.
Mic drop moment. Bong drop moment.
Right. I miss the days when everyone was doing volcanoes. That came and went, but that was the peak for me. That was the pinnacle of weed smoking. You know,
now what's a volcano? That's some West Coast shit.
The big bags, or it could just be the whippet of like, you know, the vaporizer, basically.
It's like the base, the actual vaporizer itself is like shaped like a volcano, and then it's got kind of like a
triangle or whatever.
It's got like the female glass piece like a bong does a lot of the time, and you just like you just hook up like a cellophane bag or something. And dude, I remember like the last place I lived, I would just walk around like cleaning the house with a bag.
You got like a belt loop, like a hook.
Exactly. It's like a fucking like the little loop on jeans for a hammer.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, but that was so great because I mean, to talk about being economical, I mean, you could put like a fucking half joint's worth of weed in there and get like 20 people high. It was crazy. I mean, it was insane.
And then use the weed afterwards to like make edibles with or something, which is always nice too. Or you could just eat it straight up, like throw it on peanut butter since it was already vaporized.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, you could totally do that because it's already like activated. What? So it's like, you know, like that's what's happening when you're like making like can of butter, right? Is like that heat. Exactly, but it's already happened, right? So you can just I remember my buddy had a capsule press and not for like doing any like sketchy drugs or anything, but like because he's just like I'm the only person who can actually say that genuinely wasn't, though, because like he was just really into like making his own vitamins. And I remember like we went to see, I assume that Cy wouldn't know what I'm talking about. And like we went to some fucking shitty comic book movie and we just like we pressed a ton of capsules of vaped weed and just took like 8 or 10 of them each. And like that was like maybe That was one of the highest experiences I've ever had in my entire life. It was insane.
Fuck
yeah. Eating it is surprisingly will fuck you up. Like I was crossing the border one night. I was driving through Arizona to California from New Orleans. And it was like, I was driving like four people in the car and everybody was asleep and I was awake and I roll up on a border crossing and I had like one nug, like one good nug that would make like, you know, probably like a gram nug. And I, for some reason, just like panicked. Cause it was like, you know, 2 a.m. and I'm like, fuck it. And I just like swallowed it, ate it and went through the border crossing, forgot about it. And then just like 20 minutes later, I realized I didn't know where I was. I couldn't remember where I was going. I ran out of gas because I forgot to get gas. It was actually really funny. We all woke up and just like pushed the vehicle because it was in the desert. We just pushed the vehicle for literally like 5 miles. We just like run alongside it, push it, jump back in, laugh, and it would slow down. It worked out pretty well.
Hey, really, really fast. Is my audio still clipping?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm fucking with my gain. Hold on. Sorry, real fast.
Gain of function.
Is this any, sorry. I feel like this is better now.
That's better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to be a, is that, will you be able to fuck with
it's
that? Easier.
If it's quieter, I can mix it better. If it's loud, if it's too loud, I can't do much with it.
I'm sorry about that. I had my gain turned all the way up when I thought it was turned all the way down. So my gain
of function distortion effect, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're doing some like industrial music experimentation here.
Maybe then people can distinguish Slav and COH's voice because people still somehow, I don't know how, people still mix them up. Like I it sounds pretty different to me, but like
you guys are also distinct. It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, COH has an accent for starters.
Do I? I don't even know.
Yeah, you
have a little offense there. He's a little upset.
No, no, I just hear all the time people are like, they ask me where I'm from, and I'm like Alabama, and then they're like, "Whoa, you don't have the accent," and I'm like, thanks, I guess. I don't really know how to feel about like that.
I kind of.
You don't sound retarded.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't all sound like that. Hey,
whoa,
you have a very slight Southern accent. It's like it's really slight. Mild, but it is there.
It's so slight. I didn't even catch up on it. I didn't even pick up on it. Like I never would have guessed.
Flying below the radar here, bro.
Yeah,
there you go.
People think that whenever my Southern accent kicks in, people think it's fake, but it's not. It's like I can't control it. Like it just comes and goes.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. You like every so often you'll have like a syllable or like a certain inflection. Stepdad, where it kind of comes through.
I hung out with my buddy from Arkansas the other night, and like 20 minutes into our hangout, we just sounded like a couple of hayseeds. Like, and people around us at the bar were like, "What the fuck are you guys?" It just like it just kept going, and like we kept remembering like weird Southern slang from our childhoods, and we would just use it without thinking.
Yeah,
I love it.
I just watched the first season of True Detective. You guys ever see that?
Holy
fuck yeah!
Fucking incredible, dude. Yeah, I know. It was so good. It. I mean, I love McConaughey and Harrelson. They're fucking rock.
Nice.
Yeah.
I hate when people talk about how like ridiculous it is and how like over the top the philosophical hipster bullshit is because that show really did tap into a pretty much dying off Southern archetypal male. Where you find those guys in the South still, like in a weird bar, like you'll sit down to some like weird, barfly, and he's from the South, and pretty soon he's saying the same shit that Russ Cole says.
Yeah, talking about M-brain theory and like, time curving it on self.
maybe the redneck drunk version of it, but
is it like a Dale from King of the Hill? There's always a Dale somewhere.
Yeah, dude, that show fucking rules, dude. I'm like a big Lovecraft guy, and so I'm like all in, dude, fucking King in Yellow and Carcosa and all of that shit. I love that stuff, dude.
Is that Lovecraft shit?
Yeah.
Oh, related, yeah.
Well, to be fair, before anybody jumps down my throat listening, Carcosa and the King in Yellow are the product of another writer whose name escapes me right now. But like they're kind of like carried on through. It's this kind of thing. It's like an old meme, basically, right? Like it's this mysterious bad guy, the King in Yellow, that appears across a bunch of different authors' works, which makes it kind of like spooky. So like, I think a really obvious one is like Stephen King does it. The King in Yellow's in like the Gunslinger series, I think. I never read the whole thing, so I don't know. And Carcosa is like this dark city, potentially on another planet that's like associated with
it. Whoa, I never knew that.
Yeah. It's like a literary tradition.
Yeah.
And it's like it's it's eldritch horror. That's the kind of the Lovecraftian. And yeah, man, no, I mean, that was, dude, I remember when True Detective season one was coming out like week to week, it was still like a totally valid and possible theory that there was going to be some actual supernatural twist in it.
Yeah.
And they leave the door open, right? Like a lot of people thought, what, like Russ Cole is going to be a vampire or something like that. And that would have been kind of dumb, but it's all just to say, like, it's such a good adaptation of like Lovecraft and that whole genre. So good.
It's a good pastiche of all kinds of shit, like Southern Gothic, cosmic horror.
Absolutely.
Yeah, are season 2 and 3 worth it at all? I've heard they're not.
I heard 2 is bad.
I watched really 2 and 3, and 3 is better than 2, and 2 is definitely the worst, but 1 is like way better.
Yeah.
And the second one's kind of just like ridiculous. It's got like Rachel McAdams in it doing, she's being crazy.
What? Glenn Rockney, my co-host, who y'all know, says that the third one's like hella woke.
Like Marshala Ali starring in it, right? Like,
yeah. I don't know.
I didn't pick up on that when I watched it when it first came out, but also I wasn't like paying attention to that kind of shit too much.
Mm-hmm. You weren't a fucking base Trump voter yet?
Yeah, I just wasn't even like worried about anything, dude. Just living, dude.
Yeah.
I heard that
that first season is amazing. It really is. Like, I mean, some people say like, oh, it's overhyped or like prestige TV or whatever, that criticism or whatever. But like of all the like prestige shit, like that one held up pretty well. Like if you rewatch it now, like it held up pretty well. The ending is a little iffy, but like it's really, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen a show like that. Really.
I always think though, like, cause I've heard the criticism of the ending of season one, but dude, to be fair, like detective noir fiction, I always think just almost always has a bad final act in all the stories.
Yeah.
Cause the big convention that I have an issue with is that so many of them don't introduce the main antagonist until like the end of the second act of the story. And I think True Detective basically does that, right? With like the super scarred up guy and everything.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, I'm generally not a huge fan of like crime noir detective stories. And it's honestly for the exact reason that True Detective is criticized for. I think a movie that does it really well is Chinatown, and that's honestly because like Chinatown's kind of like doing a postmodern kind of thing with it, and like you meet the bad guy, you know, earlier on in the story, and then like the ending is just kind of like a huge subversion anyways, so but yeah, man, detective stories always kind of suck at ending things.
Right, I heard that of Chinatown, that it was supposed to end, I don't really know the noir like history, but it was supposed to end completely differently, right? Like, well, we shouldn't spoil anything, but like, yeah, like you said, it just completely flipped what the tropes were and all that.
Yeah, spoiler warning for Roman Polanski's Chinatown. I mean, has anyone here not seen Chinatown?
Well, I hadn't seen it until like a couple months ago.
Okay.
A couple months
ago. I
hadn't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
I'm putting it back on my list. I watched it with my dad when I was a teenager, and my dad was like, this movie's badass, and he was right. But I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I'm not gonna spoil it because the ending's really important. It's like one of the best scripts of all time. But you know, check it out, and then next episode we'll spoil it. I don't know.
the director is canceled, you know. So
that's something to find. Yeah, exactly. If anyone listening wants to, you know, be a fucking rape apologist, you can watch Chinatown.
I didn't know Polanski did Chinatown.
Man. Oh yeah, dude. No, Polanski's like a brilliant director.
God, he's so good. Yeah,
and I think Chinatown's after his wife's murder and everything. So,
Dude,
this is just going to become a Manson murder podcast.
It's continuing the Manson thing.
Oh yeah,
all roads tie back to Manson.
I mean, if you think about it.
He's America's founding white guy.
dude, Charles Manson is absolutely a historical crazy ass white boy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Wild and out,
dude. That should be the cover of this episode. It's just the fucking, the Manson dance.
Yeah. That'll just be every episode cover from now on. Just like different stills of the whole dance.
Dude, honestly, man, like the Data probably backs up that would help. with yeah. listens.
Yeah, our listeners would resonate with it.
They would see themselves. What is the woke thing they see? What is the woke thing everybody says? Like, everyone deserves to see themselves in the media they consume.
Yeah. Where's the crazy ass white boy? Actually, that's why we all pretty much like first season of True Detective, because that's some like real crazy ass white boy shit. Like,
Hell yeah.
That's why I've watched that shit 3 times. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, maybe it's lame, but like the stuff Russ Cole says, like I really do, like I did resonate with, like the stuff he said. I mean, because I'm a nihilist and all that, but like, a lot of the shit he said, like when I was like younger, was shit that I would just like be saying. I'd be like, damn, like it's like I'm Russ Cole. It's like I'm a crazy ass white boy.
Oh, yeah. Russ Cole is bass, bro.
It's a vibe.
Well, the real bass is that final line of the show where he's like, there's a lot of darkness up there, looking at the stars, and he's like, but it looks like the light is winning out. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah. Pockets of light, bro.
Yeah,
it's kind of a cope. Kind of a cope, because if you look up there,
I'm about to blow your mind even more, dude. The stars, the brightness, it looks brighter when you're outside the city.
Yeah. So
it's all about that culture you're surrounded by.
When you're out there in like Park Means Parish. It's so funny watching that show because he went to all these places that I'm somewhat familiar with, but like places I ended up in those places and didn't want to be there and had to find my way back to New Orleans, you know, like Plaquemines Parish and like Vermilion Parish. Like you find yourself in these places and you're just like, okay, that was fun for an hour. And now it's like 2 hours of me like getting the fuck out of here.
So, finding bodies out in the woods.
Right.
Man, y'all got some crazy trees down there. That's the southern trees are just insane. I need to make it down there.
That's
crazy. All the shows and all the movies in the south just have the most beautiful, you know,
big
arboretums
and trees and shit.
Yeah. So cool. They have these things.
Magnolias.
I can't remember the names of the trees, but they're these trees that grow in a swamp and they're like grow in these swampy areas and they have the roots that their roots will come up out of the ground and form new trees. And so they look like these big, like things anywhere from like a foot to like 4 feet tall. And they're like these big round roots that come up and then go back down and they call them Cajun dildos. You'll just be walking around and like, you know, you go to some swamp somewhere and there's like some redneck, you're like, look at that Cajun. That's the biggest Cajun dildo I ever did see. You know?
I feel like in my neck of the woods, it's just like every fucking tree is just a pine tree.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring, honestly.
It's epic up there, man. It's like the, what do you call that? Like the
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Pacific Northwest. But like if you take that Port Townsend, if you take that fucking ferry from Seattle to Port Townsend and then you're in Port Townsend area, that's incredibly flat there.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, just getting out closer to the coast generally is Port Townsend's nice too, though. I mean, like it's a quick drive. Dude, that's one of the best parts about I think like big cities, just like honestly, just like, you know, west of the Midwest, is that like you're usually not too far from like a fairly rural area.
Yeah,
like Seattle slaps because you can just like you can drive an hour and be at like a pretty significant hike. It's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome up there. I love it.
Yeah, anyways, I mean, I totally want to move,
Why do you want to move? Why do you want to move? Because I met this homo from Seattle recently, this weekend, actually, and we were chatting, and he just got, like, dumber and dumber with the, like, woke shit and just, like, the platitudes, and I'm like, you're from, and I was like, let me guess, you're from Portland? No, but close. Oh, you're from Seattle. Like, I guessed on the second try, because it was just like, you know, like, there's a vibe, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
there's a vibe you feel, and you're like, oh, Seattle vibes, like, Seattle fag vibes.
Boom, honestly, got it. Honestly, man, the cultural disconnect I've like gotten kind of used to. It's honestly more just, I mean, because whatever, it's just like, I don't, whatever, dude. Trans people don't come up in conversation that often, right?
Yeah.
The main thing is just like, I mean, I've just spent 2 years on house arrest because of the fucking state government. And so it's just like learning from that. I just want to go somewhere where that isn't something I need to deal with the possibility of.
Slav, you're in Seattle, I'm in Portland. What the fuck are we doing? Like, I was just thinking about that this weekend. Like, what am I doing here? It's so crazy, man.
I had that big time about 2 months ago where me and the girlfriend were just like looking at property big time. Yeah. And honestly, like, if, what was that?
I was just like, do it now. Cause I rent, like, I've been looking at property for like a year now outside of a city, and it's just going up and up and up and up. Everybody's getting the fuck out of the cities and buying up.
Rural. Yeah. Well, and while we still have low interest rates and everything too.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, like my, you know, my timeline isn't going to be able to be that tight, but yeah, man, just getting the hell out of here so that it's just like, you know, this happened once and I just want to learn from it and not have this. I don't want it to be possible for this to happen to me again. Now, obviously, you know, you could move out to bumfuck nowhere and, you know, tectonic plates can shift or something and you're in a similar situation. But, you know, there's no accounting for that in any case ever. So,
no.
Right.
But yeah, man, I mean, we got to get out of speaking of like, you got to get out of Portland. I got to get out of here.
I think it's worse. I think it's probably worse than Seattle. So Portland's manageable. It's actually better than I thought it would be. There's definitely a lot of scolds going around and stuff, but it's not like mandate. Like, you guys have the fucking mandates and shit. But what's crazy, I was going to say, COH and gay septet, like a lot of what makes Portland crazy, I don't know if this goes for Seattle, but it's just a lot of people from the South moving here thinking it's some like woke paradise.
You know, you get the bad batch,
It's crazy. Yeah, because they're like fuck Florida, fuck up, you know, all these like redneck, whatever, and for maybe for good reason, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then
that makes me happy because I want them to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Yeah.
Damn, that's
interesting. I didn't know that.
Portland makes me sad because I was like a baby. I think I was 17 back. Well, I'm not going to age myself because that's the lady doesn't do that. But like, I was like 17 when I went to Portland. And it was like kind of a paradise for like a dumb, like gay degenerate like me, like, just like strip bars everywhere, just like this really sleazy vibe, but that didn't feel like it encroached upon the family vibe. Does that make sense? You know?
Totally.
Like a little red light districts, little areas where it was just kind of like delineated off as like, this is a sleazy vibe.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was one of the best cities I'd ever hung out in for like a month.
It has the quirky shit going on, which like Seattle used to have too, before everything became like minimalist. The people who have moved here from like the Midwest diaspora are absolutely the worst fucking people, because the actual natives of this area, like the Seattle natives, are a lot more blue collar, you know, like it was a fucking port town. You have Boeing around here. It wasn't like this, right? And then, you get these people that are like, you know, fuck you, dad. I'm going to move to the enlightened area. And then, you know, they show up and then, it's funny because it's like my experience living in Seattle was like, was basically just like being condescended to by someone who like lived in like Podunk, Ohio, about how like I don't appreciate like they're talking like they just watched a fucking Woody Allen movie and they're like, oh, the city. And I'm like, I've been here. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Or I remember like hearing people be like, oh, dude, I just had to get out of where I was because there was, you know, there's all white people. And we're like sitting at it's Seattle. Like, we're sitting at a table with all white people. Bro. Yeah, there's like maybe one Asian guy across the room. Come on, man.
Cities like Portland and Seattle and like some California cities and like Denver and those more kind of like techie kind of newer cities like that, they're very transient. Like their population is all like pretty heavily people who move there from other places, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it really changes the character of it a lot. I don't know if it's always been that way. I feel like it probably happened when like they probably got a little more hollowed out industrially, or like that kind of moved out to the cities outside the port cities or whatever, Tacoma, I guess, in Seattle, somewhere like that. And then, you know, they just kind of made it like a tech and consumer base hub.
Right.
And then stuff like that just makes people move there from other areas, as well as the culture. And it just makes it just kind of destroys like the actual root of the place that was there in the first place.
Tech relies on a lot of, you know, moving new populations in for sure. And the amount of people that I've heard from around here moving down to like Tacoma, you know, which is like kind of the next big town down south. Seattle is like wild. A lot of people
doing like a bunch of white supremacists there and shit, like.
A lot of white supremacists relatively a lot of white supremacists in Olympia, which is the capital, which is further south than Tacoma. Tacoma has a lot of Bloods and Crips that moved up here in like the 80s and 90s, actually. or used to, at least. Tacoma actually has a little bit of manufacturing, though. So Tacoma's kind of based.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
You got manufacturing. You got Bloods and Crips.
You got White Supremacy. Yeah. Everything you need. That's America right there.
That's the American dream right there, dude. But yeah, a lot of people move out of the city, move down there just because it's affordable. But yeah, or Everett, which is kind of a similar thing. It's up north, cheaper, working class, manufacturing.
I drive a Toyota Tacoma. That's all I have to.
Nice. I like the Tacoma. It's a good
Tacoma's
truck.
Good, yeah. Like, I hate when these homos around here are like, oh, nice taco. I'm like, no, it's a fucking Tacoma. It's not a taco. Don't call it a fucking taco.
What? They call it a taco? Oh,
yeah, my it's God. Gay. The gay-ass truck nerds. Because for some reason in New Orleans, like, okay, I'll come clean. Like, one reason I love New Orleans is there's like a lot of vintage cars here and people take care of them and shit.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, you know, you have to like battle the rust because of the humidity. Yeah. But like there's all these nerds here who and cool guys who are just like really into fixing up their trucks. And I'm one of them. I'm not going to lie. I got like two vintage trucks. But yeah. Like this is like the shorthand. They're like, oh, nice taco. Is that a 2004, 2005? I'm like, I'm not having this conversation.
Yeah. Peel out. Wait, what's your other truck?
An 87 Toyota 4Runner. Ooh.
Nice.
And right, I'm in the process of making it into a badass rock crawler.
Yeah.
It's got that high track suspension where it literally can like climb up on a fucking boulder in a truck and you're on top of a boulder. Oh, it's
yeah.
Got it.
I'd kill for a Toyota. So the Portland thing is selling your used Toyota Land Cruiser for $25,000.
It's so dumb. That's kind of Pacific Northwest in general, dude.
I hate it. It's the worst car market used because I'm always looking at Craigslist anywhere I am for used cars. And it's like, it's the worst market I've ever seen for this shit. It's just so hipster driven, so shitty.
I've been seeing people sell. I saw someone selling a 2014, I think it was a Toyota Tundra, for I think like $26,000 on Facebook.
Damn, what the fuck?
Like, it's fucking nuts now, dude.
Well, and now
across the board.
This is something that Bogbeef was doing. He was posting listings for used cars, and because of the chip shortage, old used cars before they got fucked in the ass with computer shit, are also rising in price, I believe. And so it's kind of, you're kind of just fucked either way, dude.
You are fucked either way, bro. Exactly.
Some of them are more or like the same price or even more expensive than like the newer ones.
Yeah,
right at the beginning of lockdown, I bought a really nice tower PC and I'm really glad I did, because like a month later it like went up in price like 10 times probably. It was, I can't say that was like a particularly good time to buy a computer. Like, it's not like it was cheaper, but at the beginning of lockdown was a fucking great time to buy a car, dude, because people were selling their shit because they were like, oh, I'm never gonna commute again. And then there was a whiplash. There was a whiplash, obviously. And now the fucking chip shortage, it's a nightmare. But
yeah, my roommate bought a car in that time. And then now it's worth twice as much as it was when he bought it.
Yeah,
shit. At the beginning of COVID.
Wait, like a used car? What kind of car?
Yeah, it's a used car. It's a Honda.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like a shit coin, like an altcoin. You just flip it for like 10
Honda's running forever. It's true.
Yeah, they're great cars.
I love cars.
I had to get rid of a shit before the unemployment kicked in and I got laid off and had no money coming in. I had to sell a Jeep Cherokee. I was pretty pissed, man. Yeah.
Ooh, that's success.
And it was a fucking, it was an old Forest Service vehicle, like that mint green and shit. And it was just, it was clean, but it had transmission problems and shit. So I axed it. But yeah. And then I found it on the roads of Portland again, around the park on the street. And I left him a note. I was like, hey, if you ever want to sell this, just text me. And the guy, he hit me back. He's like, yeah, not yet, but maybe someday. So I got his number. So we'll see.
You didn't get unemployment when you got laid off?
It took like, you know, it was during that crazy ass time when it took like 2 or 3 months to kick in, you know?
And then
it all came at once. And I probably could have kept the car. You know what I mean? Where it was just like, where you get that like 100 checks in the mail and like, and like over the course of 3 days. Yeah. Crazy times.
It was nuts.
I mean, I'm in New York, so there's like, there's no cars here. There's no, I mean, there are cars here, but nobody's driving, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
Subway and Uber. So I'm completely checked out of that. But like, yeah, the car shit is fucked up. That whole market is fucked up.
Yeah.
But see, yeah, I got to get out of the city too. I mean, you know, it's weird. Like, I came here, honestly, for woke reasons. I was like, yeah, you know, this place I'm from that's not in New York was like, damn, there's mad racist people here. I'm like, and you know, I'm like ambiguous, so like I could be anything. So I was hearing like shit from all different directions. So I was like, yo, I gotta get somewhere where people are like, you know, people are not bewildered by like, you know, people that have some melanin or just look weird or whatever.
Melanin. I like that. People of melanin.
Individuals.
And then I went to New York and I was like, holy shit, they're even fucking worse here. They're like fucking, you know, because they're like elitist and everything. So they're like, they just do it in a different way. But it's even more condescending. It's a lot more.
Yeah.
But I got to get the fuck out of here, too. I have that moment every fucking week where I'm like, why the fuck am I still here? Like, some of it is just inertia. It's hard to just get the fuck up and, like, you know, move somewhere. I've been here my whole life, like, this area. So, like,
yeah,
it's hard to imagine going to the South and getting lynched and all that. I just can't imagine.
What's on your short list? What's your...
Yeah, I'm like, where do you go from New York?
Yeah.
Shit, you know.
This is how FBI has logged on.
I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, Florida or Texas, I mean, that's where everybody's going. Like,
I
guess I could be one of those people that just went over.
Dude, you know what's the sleeper hit? You know what's the sleeper? Is fucking Montana, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Holy shit, man. It's a real sleeper.
Montana,
I mean,
dude.
That's for real.
And we cut this from the episode because you guys can know. That's where the Fed Post compound will be. But, you know, no one else can know because you don't want to ruin it. You just want to stay out of Missoula, right? Because that's a college town.
Uh-huh.
So wait, you guys are all a bunch of like cosmopolitan degenerates like I am. Have you guys watched Yellowstone, the TV show?
I've been wanting to watch it because you keep talking about it.
You gotta watch it. Like, it's sort of like a corrective to all this like gay ass faggoty like prestige TV.
Yeah.
You know, like when you watch it, you're like, that's a real TV show. Like, it's clumsy, it's overdramatic, it's ridiculous. Like when you're watching an episode, you're just like, oh my God, no, he didn't. You know, you're just like, oh my God, the livestock agent is really going to kill this man and bury him alive. It's a really good show. And like, I my boyfriend has been like, we should move to a place like Montana or like Oklahoma. And I'm like, dude, you're going to be bored. We're like, I'm sorry. We're both like cosmopolitan faggots. We can't really survive in a place like that. But the more I watch Yellowstone, the more I think he's right. Like, I think that like the only way kill the faggotry within is to fucking get the fuck away from the city.
I'm a big fan of...
I mean, there's a template.
Say it straight up. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Westerns, and so it's definitely been tempting for me. And I think they're getting a movie, right? Definitely. So, yeah.
It's like a huge media empire now, and it's like it's kind of a good show. It's a good show.
Honestly, I'll say too, I like Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
Yeah, sure, man.
I remember back in the day, people were like, oh, Kevin Costner's a cheeseball actor. He's in all these movies ladies like. Kevin Costner's cool, man. Kevin Costner's kind of had a similar trajectory as Liam Neeson, as far as I can tell, which is you're in all these lovey-dovey, you know, Love Actually or shit like that. Mm. And then you come back and kind of rebrand in a more rugged way.
Set of skills type of way.
Yeah. Liam Neeson, you know, killing, you know, Eastern European men to get his daughter. Kevin Costner being like Clark Kent's dad and like a cowboy, which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Right.
I fucking with those Liam Neeson movies, man. I love those. Yeah, dude.
They're fucking good. Where he's just like running up and down stairs and like trying to get his daughter back from some Albanians for like four movies.
Fucking awesome. And it's such a dad thing. It's like the quintessential dad movie, you know? Don't worry, dad. I'll be fine in Europe. And then immediately, like literally within the first 5 minutes, gets kidnapped.
You're trying to rape my daughter.
piss drunk, sitting on the couch with a beer in your hand, like looking over to your daughter as Liam Neeson's just stabbing a guy in the face. You know, I'd do that for you.
A lot more blood over there in the Middle East if I was
That's it. That's you nailed it. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Liam Neeson, like these pics of Liam, like he's got piss stains on his pants.
So glad he brought that.
Is that real?
Yeah. What is that, dude?
No, that's
he don't give a fuck. He don't give a fuck. He's like, fuck yeah, dude.
He's got
that's a new level of alpha, dude. That's like insane.
Sigma.
There you go.
Yeah. He's got like cross-eyed drunk face in all of those pictures, though, dude. Oh, yeah. He's got like buttery drunk face, so that's definitely real, dude. Just like all these pictures, it's just like you have to imagine there's just all these stories of just like women or just random people just walking around like Dublin, just being like, oh, hey, man, I'm just like hanging out. Oh, man, is that Liam Neeson over there? Mr. Neeson, can I take a picture? And like fucking just reeks of whiskey, dude. Oh, yes, of course.
God, I hope that's him. I hope he's a drunk. I hope he's just like, I hope he like, you know, is inappropriate.
Well, that was headlining Liam Neeson's unapologetic pants pissing a thread. Yo, some of these are in broad daylight. He doesn't look drunk.
He's Irish. He's drunk. If he's Irish, he's mostly drunk.
That's so funny.
Have you guys seen this movie from 2011? I had to look it up. It's called The Gray. G-R-E-Y.
The Gray is a legitimately good movie.
Yeah, that's a good fucking movie. I remember watching it and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this schlocky ass movie. And like, I think I cried. I think there was a time where like Liam Neeson, there was a plane wreck and Liam Neeson was like, look, dude, you're going to die. Just like look me in the eyes and just like take some breaths and just like accept your death. And I was like, holy fuck, I didn't expect this.
No,
this movie.
That movie's hilarious, dude, because they like it was right around the Taken shit. And so they marketed it. It's like that shot of him with the fucking airliner glass bottles. It's like as like knife knuckles. And it's like this is gonna be a fucking butt rocker action movie, dude. And you go and see it, and it's like this really quiet, like 2.5 hour long like meditation on like mistakes in your mortality, and it's like fuck, dude, what? There's like not even that much action.
It's actually it's good. It's kind of like a since we talked about True Detective, it reminds me of that kind of thing where it's like masculine philosophy in film or TVs, you know, because like what, dude? I mean, it's weird because dudes are supposed to be like philosophical, right? I guess I don't you know, but then you don't really see it in movies that much, and then when you see a guy who's being like awkwardly philosophical in a movie, it's cringe to everybody now. You know, but not to me. I fucking love it when a guy is just going to be willing to sort of make himself look like an idiot saying all this philosophical shit. I'm like, yeah, dad, keep talking.
I like the part when in the first 10 minutes when he's all suicidal because of his ex-wife, and he's about to he's about to step on the rifle trigger to put a bullet in his brain, and then he hears the wolf howl.
You laugh though, but that fucking rules so hard.
That's happened to me a few times, but instead of a wolf howl, it was like a twink texting me. I was like,
oh my god, dude, that's great.
Just takes the shirt off, starts howling, and that's so funny about the marketing, because like I really, when it came out, I really was thinking like it was right around Taken, so I was just like, oh, it's like Taken with wolves. He's like on the phone with the wolves, like, you know, I have a certain set of skills, you know. It seems very much like very much in line with the same shit, but like I didn't know it was good. I might watch that then.
No, it's like it's genuinely like like there's not actually like a lot of action in it. And it's more just like depressing than anything.
Which I love that shit. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, I love depressing movies, man. Depressing movies with men in it is depressing movies with women in it. I don't have time for that shit, but like,
I'm glad you said that, man. Cause that whole thing. What's more Sigma than like, you know, like Bukowski, like, you know, just like drunk, unstable life, can't maintain relationships, you know, babbling about pseudo philosophy.
Right.
That's the most Sigma thing in the world. In
straight
my
up, straight
that's
up.
That's the ideal male.
So y'all, I don't even know what the fuck Sigma male is. Can you give me a couple sentences on a Sigma male?
It's what he just said.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, I'm a Sigma male. I didn't even know I was a Sigma male.
You got to be schizo and autistic, and you're not really Chad, because Chad is like socializing. He's a mover and a shaker. He's networking. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're not networking because you have crippling schizophrenia.
He's not moving and shaking. He's pulling all the puppet strings, bro. He's behind the scenes.
Sigma is like the third position of the alpha beta dichotomy.
Holy shit!
Or like more like you're like, you know, your Dugan, like fourth universal theory, I like to think. But it's a rejection of beta and alpha for the true non-buck broken male of modernity.
So I think it's legit. Those are all good descriptions, but let's be honest. It's the new beta cope. Like a lot of beta calling studio.
That's what I thought.
It's like I'm Sigma. It's like, no dude, you're not. You're fucking, yeah.
It 100% is.
Yeah.
I'm not getting laid because I chose to. I'm alone in Trump because I chose.
I'm conserving my seed.
The absolute most important thing pointed out by Cy there, which honestly doesn't get pointed out very often, I've noticed.
I say that as someone with direct experience. Like, that is me. You know what I mean? I was I'm just conserving my seed, bro. You know, like that. And I've been that dude. You know.
Oh, dude. No. That's the. I think I had a post that was saying this like a while back of the male sexual cope of just being like, dude, I just don't sleep around because I don't think that I just that's not for me. Like, I just can't do that emotionally. And it's like, no, you can't do that because like you're not a woman. Or like the 5th percentile most attractive of men. You know,
I don't know, bro. They're saying that unvaccinated sperm is the new Bitcoin. So I'm bullish on it. I'm saving it up.
There we go.
My seed is bullish right now. Literally bullish.
Yeah, save it up, you know, store it, freeze it.
Deep freeze. Want to get one of those chest freezers?
Well, can you guys tell me like why am I seeing Manosphere shit trending? Like, why am I seeing people talking about the Manosphere again? Like,
dude, what the fuck is the Manosphere?
Dude, I'll tell you.
You don't know what it is?
Hell no.
It's like Mike Cernovich and like. Who is pissing right now, bro?
That's me. I'm sorry. I was trying to cover the mic.
Just mute, bro.
This is the full realization of gay stepdad on the podcast.
Basically, I got my hands down in front of my pants.
The first time you came on Rare Candy, it was awesome. First of all, the video mute didn't really work, so we could kind of see your forehead, and you were on the toilet the whole time. It was hilarious. The entire time, dude. It was so great. Yeah.
Oh, God. Embarrassed, not really.
He's like, you want to talk about the Manosphere? Let me take my dick out right now. Slav, you want to explain it to Cy? You know what it is, too, right?
I've dipped my toes in that sphere before, for sure, dude. I think it's got a place, I hate to use the term, but there's so many dudes that have just been wool pulled over their fucking eyes, you know, and they need like just like some weird ass internet dude to set them straight, you know. But it is cringe. But go ahead, Slav, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Honestly, I think you just had a better explanation than I was queuing up for. But what I was, my explanation was going to just be for why it's popped up. And honestly, like me and Gay Stepdad were talking a little bit before the rest of you guys hopped in. And, you know, I was talking about like, dude, I mean, we're out of election season, so everything's kind of boring again, right? You can like blink and miss a whole news cycle, which would have been unthinkable before. And like, I think that that's the natural state of the modern right, just going back to its natural habitat, right? Like, just like Manosphere shit. Like, we'll just talk about spinning plates and fucking, you know, beta bucks, dude. Fucking, let's go. Fucking whatever, dude. We complete, like, the fucking populist right completely took an L. We lost, so we're gonna go back to calling women whores and
Islamic terrorism is coming back with the Texas thing and all that. But we'll talk about that later. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean that's all. But
it's kind of like the leftist thing where you know you're not gonna win like an election or some crazy concession, so you just fall back on these things that,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm kind of rambling, but
no, it's the hits. You're going back to the hits. You're going back to the hits.
Yeah.
The crowd pleasers, you know what I mean? But the manosphere shit is just like, it's like Reddit shit where it's like, there's different segments. It's very vast and complicated, which is, you know, I feel weird saying that, but like, it's like a bunch of different like groups with like different philosophies on how to be a dude in the 21st century.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whole Tyler Durden thing. Oh, we're all raised by women. We're all feminized men. Like, how do we be a man or whatever?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a lot of that stuff where it's like, you need to be taking, you know, that tweet format that's around now. You need to be doing this. You need to be taking creatine. You need to be stimulating the clit. You need to
wake up at 3 a.m., slonk 30 eggs, deadlift 5,000 pounds, start my day.
Cold shower, dude. Cold shower. You got to have it.
Slap a woman.
Beat my fucking wife and beat my meat.
Okay, I've seen that shit. So that's manosphere.
Call my mom and tell her she's a bitch. So, there's different brands. Are the pickup artists, the PUAs, the pickup artists, are they in the manosphere? And also,
I think they're in the nebulosphere, yeah.
What about Bronze Age Pervert? Is he in the manosphere? Because he seems a little too sophisticated.
I think you're right. Yeah, exactly. You're right about that. He's a lot more sophisticated. I'm going to sound like this is like ContraPoints level discussion here, but like, cause, I mean, man, it's like 2016 shit, right? But like, pickup artists are like eight online atheists in that they were like commonly inroads to this. Right. I think Cernovich was like a pickup guy, wasn't he?
Holy shit.
No way. Really?
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
It's weird, man. That's like the conservative early life check, man. You find a lot of these guys, like they got their roots are like in PUA stuff. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know. There's like big people that are like not cringe that are kind of from there. Like, I think like Delicious Tacos is kind of like that.
I always thought that he was sort of like ironically part of the manosphere, but like, I don't know. I haven't paid that close attention to his.
I mean, maybe. I mean, he's also an author. So, I mean, it's a little different.
I like his shit. At first, I was like, eh. But the stuff I've been reading like over the past like 6 months or so, I'm like, oh, dude, I like dude. I like it. I like
the He's good. Yeah.
He's good.
He got some good shit, I think.
Yeah. I feel like manosphere shit is like kind of like right associated, but it doesn't seem political to me innately, not from what I've seen, but like there's also the men going their own way thing where it's just like, just don't engage with women at all, like don't even seek them, like I'm just gonna become a hobbyist, like they post like pictures of them like fishing, like I spent the whole day not thinking about a woman today.
Is a country song.
That's I mean it's all funny stuff. I don't know why it's trending though, because I keep seeing people talking about it again, and but yeah, maybe it's the hits coming back or whatever.
It's funny though. I use Reddit for some shit, and I am one of those, I'll be honest, and hey, I'm open to any questions on the floor. I am one of those kind of like semen retention bros in my own way, you know, and it's so funny, dude, because these guys online, they'll be like, okay, I'm gonna hold my seed for 8 years until I'm pregnant the perfect woman, like they like with these posts, dude. It's so fucking funny, dude.
That's the annoying thing about it though, is that like normies will like correctly be like, oh man, like, you know, these guys can be scummy, and like, you know, incels and shit can obviously be fucking horrible, shitty people. And then they just do their whole thing of like insisting like there's nothing at all wrong with like, you know, masculinity adapting to modernity at all. There's no problem. Like, just be normal, bro. And it's like, nah, these red pill dudes are at least speaking to fucking shit that's actually happening that everyone just denies. And a lot of their fucking answers are completely accurate and true, dude. Like I feel like I'm being too harsh. Like, it's not even like wholly bad, you know, but
it's absolutely like, I mean, there's a lot of lost dudes right now. I mean, it's like an alienating time and all that. So like, it's, there's a lot of shit that like makes sense, which is just like, oh yeah, you should like eat well and like exercise and like make eye contact when you talk to people and have confidence. Like, this is all stuff that like, it's just basic stuff that you should do, but some people just don't know. Like, some young guys just don't know because like no father figure, or like, you know, just the times or whatever.
Well, I don't even think it's like no father figure. It's like dudes have to remember how to be dudes again because of the tyranny of faggotry. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like, I keep going on about this, but it's like, it's not something to be taken lightly. It's okay, for a dude my age who remembers back when straight dudes knew what faggotry was when they saw it or they were experienced it or were subjected to it.
Yeah.
Like, and faggotry isn't just like gay. It's like, it's a mode of being, you know, it's a way of being like petty. Like wokeness is nothing. All of wokeness is faggotry. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And
yeah. So
being a lib is faggotry.
Yeah. Being a lib is faggotry. It's like faggotry is like an umbrella term to describe so much of what's going on mm-hmm. right now. And it doesn't, it's like, yeah, of course, like gay men sort of invented it, but like now everybody else has taken it on. And so young men just don't know what masculinity is. And so they either take it too far with the pickup artist shit and the manosphere shit, or they are just soy boys. Like there's not really much in between. And that depresses the shit out of me. It depresses the shit out of me when I see like gay men who are like way more adept at masculinity than like, you know, a 25-year-old straight guy who's just like kind of
it's because gay culture in some ways, like outside of the like minimalist fucking like live in your pod and code during the day.
Right.
Stupid corporate gays. Like it has been like a last bastion of masculinity that can be genuinely subversive in modernity. Like the big problem is modernity. Like this has been a problem going on forever, dude. Like we're only like a shade of like our old men, and they were only a shade of their dads, dude. Like mm-hmm. it's a continual thing. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, and so in that way, like part of it, you know, is like just natural, right? Like it's just gonna happen. It's been a long time.
And times are changing. Yeah,
exactly. Times are changing, right? But at the same time, it's also like it doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist to see that there's like something seriously wrong, you know? And I don't think that women, I mean, first of all, women are just better cut out for modernity in a lot of ways. But like also there are ways in which women are in crisis. Dude, I just think they like mm-hmm. correct a little bit easier than men. Like men are destructive as fuck. And I don't know, like this is going to sound bad, but like women. Well, I won't say it the bad way. Women are just more like social creatures than men are. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. Sure.
And so it's easier, dude. Like if you have like more of a system kind of like enforcing your behaviors, it's easier. Like you're just a more collective creature, you know, as opposed to like, I feel like we all know, like old dudes that just like as they get older, they're just more and more like they isolate more and they're just more in their own fucking, they're just in the pocket doing their own shit, which is fine, right? But like old ladies don't really do that, you know. Old ladies always have
a dating club, they got people they sit on the front porch with or whatever.
Bridge clubs.
Dude, as I get older, I'm more like keep to myself. Like I just want some space, you know. I don't need to be keeping up with the Joneses all the fucking time.
Sigma mindset.
A sigma.
Yeah. That's the sigma mindset.
Exactly. Well, some of the manosphere stuff is like this stuff where a lot of genetic emphasis, where it's like you know, the hypergamy thing, you know, all the girls are dating like the hottest, the Chads or whatever. So like if you're genetically not in the elite or whatever, the elite are basically the Chads, basically. Mm-hmm. If you're not in that section, then you're doomed to never have kids. Like you should just black pill. And it's sort of like it's like fatalism. It's like your fate was set from the jump.
Yes.
So I've seen a lot of those things. And like, again, I'm not from the right. Like I don't have any experience with any of this. So like it's kind of like crazy to me. It's like, what the fuck? Like, damn, like that's pretty intense. But like, I mean, you can understand why people think that, but
totally. I mean, the concept of hypergamy is like a legitimate and real thing for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I mean, that is for sure.
It's just
the blackpilling is like, nah, come on. Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the simple thing of like, you see, anyways, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude, like the blackpilling is bullshit, man. I mean, like you can get a fucking girlfriend, dude.
Motherfuckers are like, natural selection. We're fucked. Let's just call it a day. Like what?
Self-fulfilling prophecy, bro.
Yeah, of course.
Look at all of fucking history. And I know this is kind of like a normie argument, but it's also just like, dude, like some of these like really, really horrible. Some of these really horrible dudes that really don't have much going for them that look like fucking Jabba the Hutt and all of that. Mm. Like, I mean, yeah, you can do the minimal stuff, but also like literally just date like an ugly woman. Like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, it's something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, hypergamy, I don't fucking know.
And like, people are attracted to other people for a number of reasons, including like status and power, and also just their personal being, and like,
yeah,
you know, other things that aren't completely irrational, that aren't just like these scientific processes that can just be easily explained away, that everything has to go by all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you make your own luck, dude. I mean, like, look at like the modern lifestyle.
With everything.
Look at the modern lifestyle, dude. I mean, like, I got a girlfriend because I, like, you know, when I was like living in the city, I went out and I did something every mm-hmm. fucking day, basically. And like, yes. And I'm not that kind of a person. And I wasn't. And the only way you get it, the only way it actually brings you results, is once you turn that corner and you're like, I'm not doing this to get a GF. I'm doing this because it's like good for me and I should do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a life practice. It's a life practice to be as social as possible. Even if you don't really feel like being social. Like, you mm-hmm. want to stay home and read your book or fucking scroll Twitter, but you fucking force yourself to go sit in a bar and put your phone in your pocket and mm-hmm. pay attention to people. Yeah. So exactly. You got your girlfriend IRL. You didn't get her from like a fucking dating app or some shit, right?
No. Well, dude, I'll speak on that too. I feel like for 90% of dudes, I mean, I was going to say unless you're gay, but I feel like it's like the haves and the have nots are probably even worse among gays. Because I don't need to compete for like the aesthetic preferences of a man. I just need a woman to like me. Which is easier. Right.
And let's be real. Women will like a man for much less vapid reasons than a gay man will like another man. That's for fucking sure. Absolutely fucking sure. Whatever the fucking failings women have, they can see something in a man that a man can't even see in himself. And faggots can't do that. Gays can't do that. Homosexuals can't do that.
Yeah, really? Men are Why more shallow. But the point I was going to say is just like, dude, dating apps, dude, like if you're not in like the top, 30 to 20%, it's probably just a waste of your fucking time, bro.
Oh yeah.
And there are
mad bios that are like, if you're not 6'4", don't swipe right.
That's the H word. That's the hypergamy. That's what these guys say, is that like the modernity of it proves it, basically.
Oh yeah. I've been on Tinder. I've seen so many bios like that. Like,
yeah.
If you're not over 6 foot, if you're not making six figures, if you're not white. I've seen that bio like mad times.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
But
if you're not white, did you say?
Yeah, I see that a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah. Damn, you can't even say that shit on Grindr, man. Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, no. If you say that shit on Grindr, like, you will just be, I mean, I haven't done it, but I've heard other stories. Like, if you're just like only into whites and Latinos or some shit, you know, and then you will just get spammed with all these motherfuckers who are just like screaming at you.
What if you say only into blacks?
Oh, you're fine.
Well,
yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah, you're not fine.
Speaking of all this topic, have you guys heard of all these catfishing stories? These like incel dudes will post like this six pack ab dude and tattoo like a Nazi tattoo on his forearm and try and like hoodwink girls into admitting they don't care if a guy's a Nazi or not, as long as he's hot or whatever. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, and like, it's crazy. Like, it's like it works. Like, that's the crazy part.
Of course.
Yeah, it's that's a black belt right there. That's a weird
one. It's like the meme with like sexual harassment, where it's like the ugly guy that walks in and it's like, oh, that looks like a nice dress or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, ew. And then it's like a hot guy and he's like, that's a nice dress. And she's like, oh, thank you.
Funniest version of that I've seen is like the Chad DMs, like, maybe I rape, and she's like, haha, Chad, you're so funny. That's real. I mean, that's real. I mean, obviously that's real. That's so funny though. I didn't know that was a thing though. That's like a
it's wild. If you're a fucking loser and you give yourself 3 years of not even like voracious self-improvement, but just leaning into like to getting better, you can go way further than say like an average girl could, or you know what I mean? It's like you have
a woman for sure, dude.
Yeah, there's like a malleability there, you know, where you can kind of become, like, look at Jeff Bezos or something, you know what I mean? Like, or whoever, you know, it's just kind of, yeah.
Well, and you don't need to be like a big time alpha or anything. Like again, dude, one thing that people just like are fucking retarded about is just being like, dude, like, everyone just turned into a neat over the last 2 years, man. Like everybody lives in their fucking house and does their little quirky, like, Ben and Jerry's Netflix binge. Like just be better than the basic standard level. And that has never been lower than it is now. That's true. And it's as simple as literally, like, just like, there are just like, I'm going to, this is a bold claim here, but like the concept of just basic habits eludes most adults today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
And in a large way, it eludes me in a lot of places in my life.
Same,
right?
Same
here.
And it literally just like, just build fucking habits, dude.
Habits are important, dude. Yeah. It's like you, after time, like you were talking about it earlier, like just making, you had to force yourself or whatever to go out, even if you didn't want to. Just doing the steps eventually implants that into your psyche and into your brain and your consciousness. Like, just going through the motions creates a ritual, and over time ritual is going to develop a significant meaning to you. Whether you're actually consciously intending it or not, you're going to actually just pick up on the thing that at first might have just been you were forcing yourself to do it. After a time, you're going to incorporate it into like what actually works for you. And then even if it's not something that you're like, I'm getting great pleasure out of, like, making sure I clean my room or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? You're going to just be doing it and just be like living in a better way.
I think absolutely. This is one of the things that's so sad about this is I think that like we've like that it's the ability to even talk about this or the right to talk about this has like been taken away from men. And it's like, oh man, they're talking about this incel shit. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, even to acknowledge the problem. Right. And, and I see, I mean, you can see it. The effects of the problem underlying come through in certain ways, right? In certain places. And it's obvious, right? Like, I don't need to tell you guys, but one place that I think is an interesting example is people that otherwise I think wouldn't talk about this, really into dogs these days. Everybody got a dog, and I love dogs, mm-hmm. right? And I love them for this exact reason. But I think kind of what's going on, right, is that it's like, dude, a dog enforces lifestyle on you mm-hmm. more yes. than... more than pretty much anything short of a child, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
a partner, like a girlfriend or boyfriend would be the next thing, and then a dog, I would say.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like what is the person who's not allowed to point out that like Jordan Peterson says like patently obviously correct lifestyle things?
Yeah.
He just gets really into heckin' doggos, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I guess a dog is a cry for help, but like in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We've fallen so far that now if you have like a bumper sticker on your car that says "Ask me about my red healer," that means you're like on the right track. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's really sad because
it's fucked up, man.
Because it's cringe too. The dog parent thing is like embarrassing.
God damn.
There was an article, I don't know if you guys saw, where they were like, "You should just get a pet because having children is bad," or whatever. It's very like just on the nose. Yeah. It's what you'd imagine. You saw that? Yeah. It's just,
yeah
I did what see, you'd yeah. imagine.
See, that's like a total World Economic Forum kind of vibe right there. Yep. You know, that's a for sure one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of swamp type beat.
Yeah. For the climate.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. That World Economic Forum watermark is on every one of those articles. It doesn't matter where it's from. It's like it's right there.
Every time, I've tweeted about this a long time. You know, but that Colin Kaepernick Ben and Jerry's flavor changed the world, but it's spelled WHIRL'D or whatever. Ooh. You know, like a world. Every time I see that, I'm like, new Ben and Jerry's flavor, World Economic Forum, but spelled that way. I can't get out of my head. Dude. I want to make it.
That's great.
Yeah. Change the world? What is world? Oh, his hair? What is that?
No, I think that's from like an ancient thing where it's like visualize world peace. Within a couple of years, it was like visualize world peas for some fucking reason because hippies are idiots. Remember that shit? Uh-huh. You guys are on the West Coast. You remember that shit? Yeah,
totally.
Still raises my hackles. Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, yeah, and like the other thing I was going to say about like that the dating, which we've talked about before, but like these people having insane preferences, and just like, you know, yeah, girls obviously we know what theirs are obviously, and guys too, like, you know, and there's this thing that I was going to ask about, like this thing now that's online of like these, like this trad thing of like these guys that are like, yeah, if she's like got any tattoos, she's ran through, like, yo, any tattoos, doesn't matter what kind, and like that for some reason that sparked a giant fucking debate. I don't know if Lilith caused that. I think she might have sparked that or whatever. But
who's the account of the guy Rivellino? You know, fucking Rivellino, right?
Green line, right?
Yeah, and he's also anti-Vans. If you wear Vans, if a girl wears Vans as shoes, yeah, that's his like litmus test.
To be fair, if she has tattoos, if she wears Vans, does it mean she's ran through? I mean, no. Are both of those red flags that I understand when someone points it out?
Yes.
Absolutely, man. Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Dude. Yeah.
But just a tattoo in general?
It depends on what it is, and like the amount of them and placement and also the tastefulness.
There's a lot of variables, right? And what I'm saying, listen to me, okay? It ran through versus red flag. Red flag, I am de-escalating by several orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
But it is a red flag. A red flag frequently turns up nothing, right? But if you're asking me if tattoos are a red flag, I'm saying absolutely.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. Like, even, okay, say it's like a tiny like heart on the wrist or like the ankle, something you wouldn't even notice. Like, that's a red flag of like...
Any ink. I would say, damn. I mean, obviously...
Slavs like Jewish cemetery status.
I'm just like Hasidic over here. Fucking... Exactly. No, like, dude, like Brother COH said over here, like, there's it's, you know, there's more suspicious ones, right? Like... Tramp stamp,
yeah.
Aptly named, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, just the basic concept of the name, right?
Yeah, stick and pokes, that's a red flag.
Oh, right. Dude, stick and pokes is a red flag in like that, in the art ho fucking, you know, Mac DeMarco girl.
Okay, I have to defend stick and pokes really quick.
Because you probably have stick and pokes, you fucking.
I got some stick and pokes.
You have a tramp stamp.
I got some faggoty stick and pokes, and I will defend them until I die, which won't be long from now. But all this shit is like contextual, right? So like, if you're talking about like a 27-year-old bitch with a bunch of tattoos, and she's got some bad stick and pokes, that's a different thing than like a 38-year-old chick who's a bartender in a sports bar who's got a shitload of tattoos. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are different things.
And those are pretty much red flags for me, though. If you're like 38 years old, still single, and a bartender at a sports bar, like, I don't probably want to have much to do with you romantically in any serious way.
Well, maybe not romantically, but I mean, like, this bitch is still gonna like have a full life, and she's gonna like,
oh yeah, no, know. She's probably like, she's probably cool.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, I mean, cooler and like less of a bitch probably than this other hypothetical person.
This is just what's so weird to me about all this discourse, like this like return discourse shit, where it's like, if she's got a tattoo, she's ran through, and I'm like, exactly who are you talking about? Like, are you talking about people in your like sexual economy that you're looking for as a 26-year-old college graduate? Or are you talking about like you live in Montana and you don't want to fuck bitches who have tattoos who are 35? Like, I don't really understand who this is for.
Well, and the problem is people, they're just looking for like a simple solution for like, or a simple framework for how this stuff works, right? So it's just like all black and white type shit. Well, if there's tattoos, that's a red flag. If there's this, there's that. Well, if you don't have these genes, then you're not ever going to find love. If you don't have this, then it's just stupid bullshit that people are trying to work their brain into understanding like the complexity of actual just living.
Yeah.
And like, you're not going to be able to figure it out like that, man. Like, some stuff is like a little bit more gray area. Some stuff is a little bit more kind of mystical in a way, or irrational at least.
Red flags are like if she says that she tried to kill her boyfriend, her ex, or whatever. Like, those are
of course, red flags.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's like get far away, block.
Like, yeah, if she's got like, you know, five different guys' names tattooed on her. That's not really a red flag to me.
Yeah, sure. Any name is really that suspect.
What about Auschwitz tattoos? Where are we going with that? I can just picture some guy being like, nah. He just looks at the wrist. He's like, nah. Or whatever.
Early life check.
Yeah. I'll just say. If I'm dating a girl, if I'm getting to know a girl, and I learn that she has no tattoos, I'm gonna be happy. I'm gonna be happier about that than if I learned she had tattoos. Am I gonna freak out if she has a tattoo? Nah, man, that's the case for all this stuff, dude. If you are in with a chick and you see that she's wearing fucking Vans and you just get up and leave,
I know you have the reasonable take about it, but like there were people I saw that were like saying basically that, like, no, like some guy unfollowed me because I was like, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. And he's like, unfollowed. And I was like, holy shit.
To be fair, and I mean this completely genuinely, like, taking it with a grain of salt because I regularly have sex with a woman. And so, like, I don't have the brain poison, right?
Right.
Celibacy is, like, bad for a man's mind.
If you're thinking absolutely. Like that and you're trying to figure out all these, like, rules and stuff to, like, try to 4D chess your way into, like, getting into some relationship, then, like, you probably need to, like, widen your net as far as possible and not really be worried too much about, does she have tattoos? Right. Does she have this one weird aberration in her tooth? You know, whatever.
I mean, I think in ancient times, they used to call that having an open mind, where you would just be like,
being a well-rounded type of individual.
Yeah, like, oh, you're hot, like, you're cool, we vibe, but oh damn, you got a tattoo on your ankle, bitch. I see ya. Like, how does that help? How does that help anybody? And like these guys who are if these are Manosphere guys who are like, yeah, who are like, I'm going to unfollow you if you disagree with me about women having tattoos thing. Are these guys like, you know, 300-pound incels who play video games all day, or are these guys with like, you know, manual labor jobs? Like, this is what I don't know. Do we know? Like, who the fuck's saying this?
I don't really
shit?
Know. I feel like it's neat shit. I feel like it's like, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't like a girl with like, you know, sleeves, like a whole full body. I don't like a lot of that. If it's too much, it's too much. Like, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some of these guys are just like, just haven't been around, I guess. I don't know. Just haven't just encountered shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Live life.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Again, this is the beggar's choosers thing. It's like, bro, like, if you're trying to get something and you're not getting something,
I agree, really in the place
to be picky. Like,
right. I agree with the thrust of what all you guys are saying, but I still got to say, I love Rivolino. That account is hilarious, dude.
Yeah, I get a lot of enjoyment from it.
Yeah, it's enjoyment, exactly.
Dude, Rivolino's a fucking master. And I was actually going to say Rivolino's an artist, but that's just literally his title.
I'm just reading his Twitter name.
the guy's fucking hilarious. I like, 100%.
The Jason Momoa green lines, that shook me to my core. I had no idea it was that bad.
Wait, does Jason Momoa have bad lines?
Bad lines. They're like bad, dude. And I guess him and his wife just separated, so everyone's on the internet. They're going crazy, dude. It's crazy.
Well, really fast.
The dude is 6'4", so like... You know what I mean? If he's probably just hunching like a little bit just because he's so much bigger than other
people. Okay, listen, Jason Momoa, you're on notice. All right, listen. he thinks he gets a fucking pass because he's all like Pacific Island, whatever, dude. That boy wears a few too many bracelets for me. All right.
Johnny Depp looking ass.
He's a Puka Shell dude. Yeah.
Sure. Fucking Stargate Atlantis motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe he's just bending over to try to get into frame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's charitable. That I can see it.
Whatever, dude. There's God. The lens can accommodate.
Yo, this Rivolino guy is so fucking funny, man.
Man,
yo,
I'm looking at Rivolino's account right now, and I can't believe I just found out about this shit.
Yo, you had to have seen before.
Maybe
it's the green line guy. It's the green. Yeah, but like, yo, one of them is
it's all coming together. It's all coming together. Yeah.
He's got like an old painting of like all these Victorian women, and he's just like, no Vans, no tattoo, no leopard print. You know, that shit is amazing.
Man, his fucking pin tweet is insane. It's like 45 things you've learned about women in 45 years? ? And number one, don't lean in, pull her into you. Number two is remember to face fuck her.
Amazing.
No, you can stop there. That's all you really need.
Yeah, I mean, I can keep going because, like, I mean, these are like, as a gay man, this shit's already teaching me some shit.
Like, right. That's what I'm saying. Really, yeah,
control your twinks.
Yeah, exactly. Keep reading
them for the folks at home.
So number three is be the man she can't control, which is the key one. That is key right there.
Number four,
arguing with her is falling into her frame. Legit. Yep. Straight up.
Gems.
Always sidestep those arguments, fellas. Always sidestep the arguments.
Just walk away.
Next one.
Number five is men have to create their value. Women have to protect their value. And I am 100% behind that one.
By crossing their legs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dude, holy shit. The next tweet down is Obama, Michelle Obama, and Barack. He's got the dotted green line on Barack going in slanted, and it says, eyes closed, leaning in, hand in pocket.
She got a martini glass, too. Oh, it's like perfect.
Shit.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. Yeah. He's getting killed in the comments. It's over for Obama.
I mean, the one with, like, the value one, the difference, is, like, an incredibly incisive thing. That's like very well thought out, honestly. Yeah. I mean, Chris Rock has a whole bit about that where it's like men aren't loved unconditionally. Like, the only things that are loved unconditionally are puppies and women.
Right. It's true.
Children.
Yeah. And this is where like it's so critical, dude. Like, the Reddit response is to be like, oh, these fucking feminists, you know, this is unfair. I have to deal with this. This is unfair. Why don't they care about that? This should be addressed. And it's like, nah, man, like, this is just how it is. This is just what being a man is. You know what I mean?
Right. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. I hate that response. I hate that, like, that type of response where it just sounds like bitchy as shit. It just sounds mad. Like, the victimhood shit, I really don't like. I don't like that.
Well, even if we relate to it,
even if it's real. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just like, even if there's truth to it or whatever, it just, I don't know. It's just a bad look. It's just something we should say in private to each other. We should not be, like, saying that shit online.
It's
whatever,
a feminine.
You know what I mean?
It's fucking whiny.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a good look.
Victimhood is a feminine.
And again, it's like the irony too, you know, without taking any personal stance here, but it's like you're literally just fucking arguing. You're trying to beat feminism with more feminism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's stupid. Exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's sort of like the intellectual dark web's little war of like, you know, hating on rad libs with liberalism. And it's just like, this is a losing battle. Like, this is a fucking retarded strategy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm more woke than you. Actually, you're more racist. Yeah, that's how
you Democrats are the real racists, or just like, I'm a classical liberal. You know what I mean? Shut the fuck up, dude. Shut the fuck up.
You can't fight faggotry with faggotry.
I don't like your I don't like your philosophy, but I like all the basic premises that got you to arrive there. Fucking idiots.
Yeah. Your Reddit is hilarious, man. That I just, it's so, you can't, if you're down bad, you cannot climb out of your hole by browsing on Reddit. No. That's the most fucked up thing.
It's deeper in the hole.
It keeps you stuck.
Reddit is modern, is masculinity within modernity. That's what Reddit is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Which means it's like crippled. Like pretty much all I know about Reddit was when I was banned off Twitter and I jumped on Reddit and I was like, yeah, I'm going to see what's on Reddit.
We've all been there.
Yeah. To get my online fix. You got to get the fix. You know, we're all
addicted. The scroll. You have to. Yeah, the scroll is a drug.
So like I was obsessed with like Ask Gay Bros, which like I'm doing a podcast thing about this, like coming up in the future about Ask Gay Bros, because it's kind of an insane history of this, like the subreddit Ask Gay Bros, where it was like homosexuals, like dudes who like to fuck dudes, but who don't give a shit about Charlie XCX or whatever. They're like, we need to start our own subreddit. What is what?
Charlie.
Oh, the recording artist. Oh, like a
girl pop shit. Like, just dudes who like, who, I don't know, dudes who are dudes who like to have sex with dudes, but they don't have any truck with fucking gay culture. So they started this like subreddit called, like, you know, Ask Gay Bros. And long story short, it got taken over by faggotry eventually. But like in the early days, it was like dudes who were like, I just want to hang out with bros and, like, you know, have sex and go to fucking football games. I don't want to deal with the faggotry. And that got put away. But so Ask Gay Bros now has descended into this thing where all these guys are just like, I'm attracted to men, but I don't want to be gay. And it's just that over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh, no.
And that's like a sort of a different manosphere. You know what I mean? Like, where these dudes are like, I want to hold on to my masculinity because I value it, and that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm being told by the overarching society that if I want to have sex with other men, then I have to like behave a certain way. And they're just hamstrung by this shit.
That's actually really sad, dude. Dude,
it's straight so up, okay. sad. It's so mm-hmm. fucking sad to me.
Straight up, dude. Like within trans, like because of trans ideology, just being a homosexual man is like an unnecessary step that can just be cut out of the equation now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Fucking sad, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, being gay isn't a new thing. Dude, we watched fucking Nightmare on Elm Street too, dude. Like this whole fucking like what happened to like just bare gay dudes, right? And shit like that. Like I don't know.
It's
so I mean, not, not, that, not that I'm like super up to date on like homosexual culture or the gatekeeper there, but
and
it
you
is
shouldn't like, be. It's like, well, that just the thing is, it's just like it's. There used to be a place. This is off topic, but there used to be a place where like, if you were a guy who was masculine and you liked other masculine guys, you would have sex with him. You just like had your own little subculture that was way out of the public eye. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like you didn't give a shit about any kind of like public attention because you just wanted to fuck dudes. That's it. You didn't give a shit about glamour. You didn't give a shit about any of this gay stuff. And like
this
now
is talked about in fucking Bronze Age Mindset where he talks about fucking, you know, like gay culture was one of the last bastions of like genuine subversion and counterculture. And now it's been taken over by faggotry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and honestly, most importantly, and this is kind of one of his parts of like outlining what'll make a coherent movement is like, it didn't have like, there aren't women present. There aren't women in the space.
No.
And like, that's really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get rid of the women.
I'm like also, saying like that completely unironically too. Like
no, you're definitely right. Yeah.
No, I like the Charlie XCX thing you said. And you remember that you tweeted before about how gay dudes will be like, the 1 week they'll be like, I'm Kesha. And then next week we'll be like, I'm Lady Gaga. You know? What was that about? Yeah. I might be butchering it.
I think that's the thing is like what separates like a homosexual man from a gay man is like a gay man identifies with some kind of like feminine or female archetype, you know, like even if you don't paint your nails and you're not super faggy, like you're like if you're a gay man in your mind, you're like, I'm Charlie XCX or I'm Kesha. I'm whatever little, because at any given time, we're given like five or six like pop star archetypes that either teen girls or fucking 35-year-old gay men want to like emulate as their like spirit animal or what the fuck ever, right? But if you're just like a homosexual, like you don't have a spirit animal. You're just a dude who fucks dudes. Like that's it. And there's like the line between these things used to be sort of like blurred, you know, because I don't know, homosexuals would hang out with gays and it was just like a kind of a diversity thing. I don't know. Like, you know, you just hang out together. Now it's like, you cannot hang out. If you're a homosexual, you cannot hang out with gays because they are aggressively trying to destroy what you want to do with your life, which is be a masculine guy who fucks dudes. It's just like, it's kind of tragic. Boom. Yeah.
Yeah, make gay great again, bro.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's the opposite. Like, I mean, like, we live in...
Or not gay, sorry. Make homosexual
great that's again. The thing. Like, yeah, and I mean, this affects straight guys. This affects everybody. You know what I mean? This is sort of... This
it's
is an
pervasive. Old, it's all reaching.
It's a pervasive thing. Yeah, tyranny of the faggot. You know, it's like, it's... it's. I'm saying it as a joke, but I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
It's, like, really fucking sad, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it hits a guy like me before it hits guys like you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You know, because it empowers women in this way that they should not be empowered.
Boom.
Yeah. Wait, I'm just glad to hear you saying it, bro.
Wait, what?
You're speaking for us right now.
What empowers women?
Well, like, I don't know. Like the tyranny of faggotry sort of like, well, faggotry is just like a mode of being.
I totally get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's a way of being like, do you remember on Twitter, like what, 3 or 4 years ago when like everybody was like, I'm petty. I'm so petty. Ha ha ha.
Yo.
And it was like, it's a way to like, you're like, I'm petty, but I want a social reward for being petty.
That is peak faggotry right
there. Yo, you remember fucking Comey was like on late night and was like, man, Trump, I'm like a ex-girlfriend. He just can't get over me, blah, blah, blah. Like saying like catty shit, like, you know, like all the like the cattiness was becoming like mainstream.
You like BuzzFeed like, articles are like, man, sassy. Comey is such a like petty bitch, bro.
to be honest, I kind of get that same vibe from like from people online that do the like bimbo thing. I think it's just kind of I think it's kind of cringe in the same way. But
any of that shit's cringe, bro. Just be fucking like, I don't know. Don't try to impersonate some other type of bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, just exist. What the fuck?
Well, when women do it, it's understandable because it's in their nature. They're sort of trapped. They're sort of trapped by that. But yeah. And gay guys do. They get a pass. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. But straight dudes, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Cut that shit out. That is not cool.
I'll say one thing. You know who could pull it off very well? Who's a straight dude? Fucking President Donald J. Trump.
He's the exception to all the rules. He just somehow he does the catty shit and it somehow works. I don't know how.
He's the natural dude.
He's
funny. He's funny when he does it. He's not really like.
Well, and that's why Comey's fucking doing it, you know, and like.
Right.
Because and that's the thing is because they all looked like fucking hall monitors because of him, and so I think that was part of the driving force. Like honestly, so much of the culture over the last like 5 years, I think, can just be. Dude, gay
stepdad. Sounds like a fucking mason jar, dude.
It's fucking freezing outside. I'm not going to go piss outside for you guys.
Bro, how are you getting so much of it picked up on the microphone? We can smell, like, you're just hitting the side of the ball, bro.
I'm trying to keep it quiet. I'm trying to. Oh, I forgot about that.
Okay. He's just pissing on the microphone.
You son of a bitch.
We need Neeson to put it in the pants for us.
Go Neeson. Go.
All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.